Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, property, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We the people must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our broken legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is February 7th, 2024. My name is Robin Austin. I'm with my co-hosts tonight, Lou Anne Fleming.
Hello, everybody. We're going to have a really good show tonight, so please listen in. Bring your friends, your family to listen. It's going to be a really good show. We also have Hillary is with us. Say hello to everyone, Hillary.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining us on what will be a very, very important show. Not that they all aren't, but this one does it to me when you have either a sick husband or wife and there's a hospital involved and how they are broken apart and separated, all so that the probate courts and the nursing homes and hospitals can make money. And it is definitely criminal. So thanks for having me on.
Good. Thank
Absolutely.
You. I'm trying to put everybody's names in here. We do have a lot of hands that are being raised, so we are going to go ahead and take in phone calls probably after we hear their stories from one of our guests. We have two guests on tonight, incredible people, to come on and share their stories. And I thought this was appropriate because we thought Kim Mason is going to come on and talk about their marriage of over 47 years, and then Becky Harbor had a marriage too, as well as, and I'm going to get how long they were married. And their husbands were taken from them and put into a guardianship. So we're going to be talking about why are so many husbands and wives being separated and taken away. I mean, this is, I think it's like an epidemic going on. I've heard so many, I can't even tell you. So I think we'll go ahead and wait for Marcy. Oh, Marcy will be calling in. So what we're going to do is wait for her. We'll bring her on and when she gives us a call. But we're going to go ahead and talk about what the story is about tonight, aren't we, Robin?
Absolutely. This is something that is happening more and more, or at least we're becoming more and more aware of it. I'm sure that it has been happening for many, many years because we've heard stories for many years. But mm-hmm. All of these types of crimes, and they are crimes, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, just because these people are authorized by someone in a black dress that carries a wooden hammer.
A black robe, honey.
A black robe that carries mm-hmm. a hammer does not mean that they're not committing crimes. Just because someone says...
Well, in our opinion, it's definitely a crime when they take
Well, excuse me,
away.
But if mm-hmm. there are crimes on the books that say when you take someone out of their home against their will and you hold them against their will, well, mm-hmm. there's a crime there. That's
mm-hmm.
That's called
yeah,
kidnapping.
It's kidnapping.
And just because someone in a black dress, a robe, says, oh, no, it's okay. I have a wooden hammer here that says it's all good. I'm sorry, but I don't accept that these things are not crimes just because someone who has somehow found themselves in what we think of as a position of authority mm-hmm. has decided to call it not a crime in this case.
Right.
But if you're doing the same thing that would be a crime if you or I did it,
right.
no one is above the law. This is called the rule of law. There's a rule of law that says that should apply to everyone equally. If it does not, then we don't live in a democratic society. We don't live in what America is supposed to be. Yeah. If there are people who are setting themselves above the law so that they commit the same acts that when someone else commits them, they are crimes, mm-hmm. and yet they're not called crimes because it's done by these individuals, that is tyranny. Mm-hmm. That is That is communism. It's certainly not the Democratic Republic of the United States of America, and it's not in accordance with the laws of this country, mm-hmm. which include every judge has to say, I will uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the state that I am a judge in, mm-hmm. and they have to swear to that. That is an oath that they take. Mm-hmm. So when they are not doing that, those are crimes that they are committing.
Exactly.
And I'm going to call it what it is.
And that's exactly what our show basically is tonight. I'm going to give you a little bit of detail before we bring on our guest. We have, of course, we just introduced Hillary. I know Marcy should be calling in probably soon. Now, remember, the phrase in the marriage vows, until death do us part, means a lifelong commitment. Death should be the only thing that dissolves the marriage bond. It shouldn't be a court or a guardian's decision. We welcome guests tonight, Kim Mason and Rebecca Harbor. Kim and Jim have been married for 47 years, everyone. Jim also helped put the first man on the moon. He was taken from their home and forced into a guardianship for over 6 months with the only hearsay allegations. Now, we also have Becky on as well. Her husband, Herschel, was forced into a guardianship by APS in Henry County, Georgia. And that whole thing started in Daytona, Florida, Volusia County. Why are husbands and wives being separated, isolated, and traumatized through the current guardianship system? And that's exactly why we're bringing these stories live on the show tonight. Because to me, it's horrendous. I couldn't even imagine. In fact, when my husband became really sick, I became the guardian of him 20 years ago. In fact, I just found my guardianship papers of him over 20 years ago, and it actually worked out well for our family. His father got conservatorship of his money. He just won an award of $130,000 from he got really banged up in a car accident on his job. Of course, his father was the former chief of police in Aurora, Colorado. So I think that had a lot of bearing on our case. And then they named me the guardian. So I was all new to this. I had no idea what it was. So
you know,
I understand how it goes, how it's supposed to go anyway.
When I hear all the stories that we hear on this radio show about how these courts target the money, I just can't help but believe that the fact that this was the former chief of police of Aurora played a factor in the court not wanting to mess with the money in your husband's case.
Yeah.
And to just hands off with that. I think they looked at that and they said, you know what, let's not mess with this one.
It was
this
just
could
crazy.
Be trouble because that's you're talking about somebody very well placed in the community with basically the entire police force respect this individual. And if you start going against that guy, there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to stand up and say, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
And that's not often the case. If you, if you find yourself dragged into court on one of these cases, there's very few people that have that kind of placement in a community that can be a protective influence. And so these court interlopers, these treacherous individuals who are targeting people to take the money from the relationship, from the family, from the home.
They didn't do that.
From the circumstance, who are interjecting themselves into that circumstance to gain access to the riches and wealth that do not belong to them but belong to those people. This is why I call it a crime, because if you or I did the same thing, that would be a crime.
Right. I remember sitting up in front of the judge. I got to tell this real quick, and then we're going to bring our guest on.
Alrighty.
I was standing up in front of the judge, and they named me guardian. I was shaking up there, and I'm like, what is a guardian supposed to do? And I looked at the judge, and he goes, well, you're supposed to take care of the ward. I said, well, that's my husband. And they said, I've been taking care of him for 28 years. And everybody just started laughing and cracking up, and I was like, man. Did I say something wrong here or something?
Is that funny?
Is that funny? Oh, my gosh. I just had to put that in there. Anyway, we've got a really good show tonight. We are going to bring on our first guest. Her name is Kim Mason, and then we're going to bring Becky on. So, Becky, hang on. Her name is Kim Mason, everybody. Welcome
to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so thankful that you're having me on. it's a great honor because you honestly, you don't know, it's horrible how you feel. You're traumatized. You know, my husband and I were in our home. That's how it started. It was in 2021. We were in our home, and all of a sudden a knock on a door, and our daughter, an ex-employee, and a police officer. And then the police officer is in the house, and the other two are on the outside of the door. They're trying to coax my husband out the door. And then, you know, I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And, you know, my husband and I, we were fine. There wasn't any problems. We couldn't figure out what was going on. So anyways, they said, you know, our daughter says, okay, you got to come with us, Dad. And Jim said, no, I don't want to go. He said it six times. He said, this is my home, and I want to stay in my home. I'm happy in my home, and I'm staying here. And then the police officer, all of a sudden, really, really, he was a big guy. And he says, no, Mr. Mason, you're coming with us, and you're coming with us now. He was very forceful, and he wouldn't tell us what it was about. And I says, is this something I have to call my attorney on? And he said, nope, there's no time. We're taking him out now. And that was the way it was. They took him out. He was gone for 6 months. It was the longest time of my life and his too, because, I mean, he's 80 years old and you're uprooting somebody that hasn't been out of, we've lived in our home for 40 years. And this is just, and my husband worked his whole life, and I worked. And, you know, he has two children by his first marriage. And we have two children together. I mean, they're adults. And our adult is the one who got the guardianship with her attorney. And they really pretty much coerced my husband into a guardianship. And with all the false lies, fraud, to make it look, to expunge me as the wife off of it, because when you're a married couple, you're stronger together than apart. And so it was a way to expunge me away, to push me away. I'm the gatekeeper. My husband made me the gatekeeper. And that's very, very, that's a very important role for a wife is, you know, a husband and wife. This is very important. And I think what happens, I mean, honestly, husbands and wives are so strong, it's such a strong bond that they need to break it up. We're a threat to them, so they have to come up with all of these fallacies and all this slander and disparage against the wife so they can get her off of it, expunge her off, so they can take the husband and his properties, his estate. You know, because the woman, the wife is in the way, and they don't like it. So they have to make their story strong, and, you know, whether it be narcissistic, whether it be lies, slander, however they do it, but they do it very well. And it's not just one person, it's several. And I felt like sharks around me or wolves constantly, and it was trying to fight back and trying to keep what we had. And, you know, my husband always took very good care of us, you know, of the family. And, you know, everything was going to be fine if we should pass away. There was going to be a legacy for our kids. You know, we worked on houses, put money into houses so they could each have a house if something should happen to us. He has a flourishing business at the time for 50 years. A Mexican restaurant, I mean, always packed and with 30 employees. Well, then when COVID hit in 2020, it really took us down somewhat, okay? And it was really rough. And then we found out employees weren't paying his taxes, and then there's tax debt. It was awful. It was a hard situation. And then my husband's taken away, you know, for 6 months and because of a greedy daughter. But what we did was we wanted to sell the business to pay off the debt. And that was my husband's right. And we did it with a real estate agent. And then our daughter went and got an attorney and said, nope, can't do that. Took down the signs. Honest to gosh, I mean, this just blows your mind, you know. And then all these lies and all these things coming at you. And then her attorney trying to sell our houses. And, you know, and it was like, no, this isn't happening. And for a while, I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. I called 50 attorneys. I couldn't even get one attorney. I was blackballed by her attorney for some reason. I tried everywhere. I tried Buffalo. I tried everywhere. Erie. I tried everywhere. I couldn't find, I mean, nowhere. Nobody wanted to take the case. And and the police, they weren't helping because, oh, it's civil. We can't do anything. Well, wait a second. Okay, so what if she wanted something, our daughter wanted something, it got done. But when I was fighting for my husband and my life, nope, we can't help you. So I thought, wait a second, I have to think out of the box here. I have to think, what can I do so for a while I just, you know, I just stood still and I prayed a lot and talked to a lot of people and went to the church and did this and had friends and talked to as many as people as I can. Then I had to go back to work because our daughter said she was going to put me on the streets and she was going to put her dad in a nursing home. So, you know, she took our leased vehicle and, you know, the car got repossessed. So my husband's, his credit score went down. She shut off the cable. She shut off everything. I was like, oh my God, I have to go back to work. What am I going to do? I feel like I'm a slave to my daughter. It was the worst feeling ever. And we always helped our kids. All four of our kids, and I'm going to be truthfully honest, they all have either drug or alcohol or both addictions. And the one that did all of this with her attorney has that issue. And, you know, as far as handling money, she would be the worst person for a guardianship. But they coerced my husband into that. They told him that he had to have a guardian. We're power of attorney of each other. And they wanted to expunge me off of everything, take everything, all my rights away. And, you know, doesn't 47 years say something? And I kept saying that in the back of my head. I've been with this man for the ups and downs and the bumps and bruises and the love and the everything, for working for a relationship, for a family, and even for a community for 47 years. And to just be taken away just like that, by opening up the front door, allowing a police officer, our daughter, and the next employee walk into our home and steal my husband away. I have never, I mean, this is, it's just ridiculous. It's like, you know, for instance, if somebody came to your door, knocked on the door and came in your house and stole everything out of your house, that's a crime. If they stole you out of the house, that's a big, huge crime. Okay, so why isn't it then in this case? So,
wow.
I guess.
I'm just sitting here going, wow, I mean, how, and you know what, the saddest part of all is family doing it to family. I mean, how sad is that? You know, I get it. I just I just looked at how long I would have been married to my husband, and guess what it just said? 47 years like you. Look at that. 47.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow. So I'm really glad we're doing this story tonight, because we want people to know that this can happen to married couples. And to get someone into a court, it's not that hard anymore. Not that hard at all. So right now, where is your husband at now?
Well, he's with me. They brought him home 6 months later. And if I was so bad, I got to thinking about this. If I were so bad, they would have never brought him back. And they brought him back, and he wanted to be at home. He probably fought them. He probably said, hey, look, you know, I want to be at my home with my wife. And he told me he did several times, but they wouldn't bring him home. And he probably put up a fight about it enough that finally after a while, they probably thought, gosh, we can't do this, you know. So they brought him home, and he has been with me ever since. So it, you know, and I'm basically his caretaker. He's not incompetent like they were saying. It was all a ploy to take him away, to say it's so easy, that word incompetence, you know, that word incompetence, think about it. I think they use a lot of that because that's the easier way. Because, okay, her attorney said to me, I went to her office, and she says, you know, your husband's a child, and you have to treat him as such. He's incompetent, and you have to treat him as such. And I looked at her, and I said, shame on you. My husband is not incompetent, and I treat him with dignity and respect. And furthermore, he is in the car. I'll bring him in here, and he can talk to you. And she says, oh, no, don't do that. You know, it's all a ploy. It's all a game. It's a scam. It's fraud. And it's all about the money. Follow the money. It's all about the money, the properties. It's all about wealth. It's all about, I mean, her attorney wanted, she had bought a new building, whatnot, and during that period of time, and she owed money. Well, we were, a good prize for her. So she fought hard. She pushed her client, which was our daughter. She pushed her all into this, you know, and it's sad what attorneys can do. You know, I'm not saying all attorneys, but there are some that I don't know. I don't think they should be an attorney, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, what if it was done to them? You know, what if something like this was done to them? How would that make them feel? And, you know, I love my husband with all my heart. I have given my whole life to him, and I have been with him since I was 18 years old, and I'm 65 now. Honestly, you know.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
After my sister was the one who filed the petition to put her own father in guardianship, and you know. This is 4 years later. My dad got out of guardianship, and we're like cordial, would make it seem more than it is. But do you speak to your daughter? Does she have any remorse for what she's done?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. She has physically assaulted me. She had said that she was going to kill me.
Wow.
And yeah, and I called the police department. And I made a report, and I wanted an order of protection. It never happened. And then they turned it around on me, and two police officers were here, and they arrested me, put handcuffs on me. I'd never been arrested in my whole life. I was in jail overnight, and I have never in my whole life, I was appalled. I was in shock. Like, really? And she had turned it around and said, I made a false report. No, it wasn't a false report. And she said she was going to kill me. And, you know, and she had physically assaulted me in the past. I do believe it was in 2016, and I had her arrested. And I wanted an order of protection, and I did get it then, okay. And it was because she was on drugs and she wanted money from me and I wouldn't give it to her. I wasn't going to enable her addiction. So then, so when it came time, when she was in the courtroom, I was in the other room and the attorney came to me and she said, do you really want to put your daughter in jail? I says, nobody really wants to put their daughters in jail or their sons in jail. Not really. You really don't want to do that. And I says, okay, how about we do this? If she goes to counseling, then I'll drop this, okay? But she has to have counseling. So that was the deal, but she never went to counseling, and it was the end of it, and nothing happened. So you know what? Then it continued more with her. Now it got to a point where she's greedy. She wants more. She has no remorse. It's one of those things that somebody said, how come your daughter has so much hatred towards you? And I said, well, you know, I think really what it is I'm in her way. You know, this is her dad. He has all the money. He has the properties. This is what she wants. I'm in the way. It doesn't matter if I'm blood or not. And I am blood. I'm her blood. But she's got the greedy bug, I call it, and she doesn't care. You know, there's no remorse. There's no, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You know, can we talk about this? Nothing, nothing. She's gotten more aggressive, it's like you're fighting a monster and you don't know how to deal with it. And the only way that I learned how to deal with it is that I had to stand up for me and I had to stand up for Jim. And if I didn't, it was going to be a bad situation, a real bad situation. Because when my husband, I had to take him to the hospital. I do believe it was for bronchitis or something like that. And when he was in the hospital, she was having him ready for a bed to bed to a nursing home. She said, if you don't go along with my program, she says, I'm going to put him in a nursing home. So it was like, to her, it was going to be a bed to bed. She's very sneaky. So I knew that. And because I worked in nursing homes, I worked in assisted living, I worked in people's homes and helped other people for years. So I know how to take care of people. So, and it's very important to me. And I knew what she had planned. And then I went to the doctor in the hospital and I said, look, he says, who are you? I says, I'm his wife. And he says, oh, you're not his daughter. I says, no, I'm his wife. And I said, I have a POA paper right here. Would you like to see it? And he says, yeah. So I showed it to him. And he says, oh. And I says, and if you don't have my husband out of here, I'm going to sue this hospital because, you know, we've been railroaded long enough and so many things have happened to us. I want my husband out of here and you let him go immediately today and I'm taking him home with me. And I did.
Mm. Wow.
But sometimes.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
It is.
Oh, gosh. We're going to bring on Marcy Friedman right now. And just so hang with this, Kim and Becky as well. We're going to bring Marcy in. She's one of our co-hosts as well. Marcy?
Yeah. Hi.
Well,
hello, everyone.
Hi.
And Kim,
hi,
thanks
Marcy.
For coming in the show. And
thank you.
Luann and Robin for having her. I'm really happy
yeah.
you reached out.
And
yeah. I am so sorry that you went through this with your husband. But you're one of the few that has seen that you have him. And the trauma with this is horrific. I'm not going to stay long. And hi, Becky. I just wanted to wish my mother happy birthday in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been 100 today. And I believed if I would have continued to take care of my mother, she would have made it to 100. But unfortunately, she was, and Hillary was there many of the times thanks to her that she held my hand and she gave up her time and she went with me and that she witnessed that my mother, you know, they would go and they would never bring her. But the way she ended up in the hospital was heartbreaking. And it's a picture in my mind that my biggest regret is that I went for guardianship thinking that it would protect my mother, and it didn't in any level. My mother ended up being neglected, isolated. Thank God her long-term memory was good. That's why I believe that they isolated her and trafficked her. And so this is, I call it a cookie cutter crime because it's what it is. It's isolate to rape the estate. To date, they sold the property without letting me know. They took the bank account that my parents had on our names, and I agreed to freeze it. They removed my name, and they sold properties without notifying me, and my mother never wanted to leave her home. So, it's something that they're getting, and they get away with it. And where is Congress? I ask a lot, where is Congress? Because I listen to the news, the Forbes News, and they talk about corruption and how the American people have rights to live peacefully and that we have a constitution. But just like they water down bills or they try not to pass it, this is what I believe that they're doing. And we all have a right to speak up and have a voice and say, enough is enough. The reason why I continue to advocate is to create awareness so no one else can be taken advantage of. It is disgusting when they do this to the elderly. It makes me want to puke. It's so gross that they're doing this to the elderly, and we have rights. So from Cuba communism to corruption in the United States, because that's what it is. You mentioned everything that's fraud, follow the money. It is what it is. And they do oppress the ones that are trying to save their loved ones because it's not convenient for them. Otherwise, can't rape and steal the estate. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Right.
Happy birthday,
well,
Mom in Heaven.
Happy birthday to your mom in heaven. And everybody will be able to listen. To Marcy's story is in the book that we're writing, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we also want to get on to our next guest coming on as well. Thanks, Marcy, for coming on. Happy birthday to your mom.
Becky.
You know, I really got close to you listening to your story and writing it. You know, I just really, it's a beautiful story, everybody. Anyway, I'm just saying. And Kim, we're gonna bring on Becky. So let's get a little bit information from her as well. And then I'm gonna have you two talk about what you both have been through together on live on our show. So Becky, are you with us?
Hi. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello.
Yes, okay. I can.
Let's see. I want to go back to Kim for a moment because she left out the most important thing, a very important part of her story, and that's the Social Security check. Can we go back to her for just a minute and her tell about that Social Security?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay. I was just thinking about that, and yes, the Social Security, my husband, when they took him out and everything, our daughter gets his mail. He doesn't get one piece of mail at our home. She gets his Social Security checks. She's had them for 4 years. He gets $1,300 a month. It's so criminal. I can't stand it. And this man put the man on the moon. He has worked his whole life. And for a daughter to just come and take his money, the check goes into an account in the bank. And then she puts it into her account and she uses it for whatever we don't know. We don't have any statements. We don't know anything. He gets no mail. It's like he's been wiped away. He has no rights. Now, and he is not incompetent, and he's worked his whole life, and this is what makes me so angry and so sick that a daughter and her attorney can single-handedly just take, like, wipe away my husband like he never existed and then try to get rid of me in the same process, too. So it's disgusting.
So, okay, let me interrupt for a second. So who's been taking care of your husband, and where is he? So he has no money, right?
Well, I work at the local newspaper full-time, and I get my – I took my Social Security, though, first, because at 62, and then all this happened, I thought, oh, my God, I have no money. What am I going to do? Because I wasn't working. My husband was taking care of me, okay? So I thought, well, I might as well retire, and Jim and I can put our Social Security money together, all right? So mm-hmm. when this all happened, then that washed that away because my husband wasn't here, and I didn't have a job. And so I went back, and I got my job back at the newspaper. And, you know, so I'm taking care of my husband, basically. I'm the one who takes care of everything. And we didn't have a vehicle, and thank God he had a friend that he knew very well, and he helped us out with a car. So we have a car, a used vehicle, but, you know, our daughter wrecked his credit. He had 780 as a credit score. It's probably 200 now. We couldn't get a loan if we tried. I mean, this is so criminal. I don't even know what else to say. It's appalling that, you know, someone can single-handedly with one attorney just take everything away from you. And you know, it is traumatizing. That's the word, okay? Traumatizing. I'm so traumatized by it all. But now I'm at a point where I'm angry. I think you go through phases when things happen like this to you. All of you out there, you know how this feels. It's traumatizing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then it goes.
The anger just won't go away. The only way to get rid of the anger is to channel it like Luann and I and Hillary and Becky that we've done. It's just by taking that pain and helping other people, because it feels to me like I was that the devil took a bite of my heart and it's still bleeding.
Yes.
And the American people are going to still bleed because it's going to continue to happen one after the other after the other. If we sit back and don't educate and tell people how horrific this is, then it's going to continue to go on.
Exactly. So let's get back
it's
to Becky.
It's like that
for
song, Men
right.
in the Mirror. You know the song, Men in the Mirror, by
mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
We
mm-hmm.
got to make a change, okay?
Yeah.
Because if we don't speak up, they're going to continue to oppress us so they can continue to abuse, because it is abuse and it's criminal.
Right.
It is.
So let's get back to Becky for a minute. Now, I know, Becky, I know that you've gone through basically not the exact same thing, but your husband was taken as well. And you bring up a fascinating fact about the Social Security check. What do you think about that? I mean, I remember taking care of my mom. I didn't dare touch her Social Security check. So I paid who I had to pay, and the rest went to her, because I'm not messing around with those funds. It's federal.
Well, this is what I would say. If you don't believe that, look at the Karen Turk case. And I do believe that many things that this corruption does, it's because they're allowed to. They're never challenged. Like right now, poor Kim. I mean, it's 65 years old. She's taken a job back at the newspaper to support her and her husband, while a drug-addicted daughter, or supposedly drug-addicted daughter, and I have no reason not to believe Kim, has control of their money. Why, number one, is a drug-addicted daughter in control of anybody's money? Number two, why is the daughter been allowed to take their credit rating from a 780 to a 200? Why is the Social Security check just given over to a daughter while this senior couple doesn't get the money that he's worked for all his life while Kim does the work? These things must be in an, you know, they must be challenged right away. I just wanted to say this. In my case, you know, I never saw my husband again. I will never get over it. I mean, 2.5 years later, I think about it when I wake up. I lay awake at night thinking about it. I will say this, that Marcy is point on, that you have to channel that hurt. I won't even let myself go to anger. I'm a true believer in karma. I'm believing what goes around comes around. I'm not going to give them that satisfaction of anger. I just will say that, you know, that you need to channel it. And what I do is, because these wives are my passion, and that is not to minimize Marcy or Hillary or any other child, because I took care of Mama till she was 94. If someone did this to my mother, I mean, I'm telling you, this would be really bad. But anyway, with that being said, because I was a wife, that's where I can give the most help. And so, you know, it, like where Marcy, it was her mama that was taken, she might gravitate towards someone in that position. But anyway, I will say this, that these advocates out here, I mean, absolutely saved my life. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. They had me ready to be put in jail. They asked for no bond. It was a nurse with a criminal record, past felony, current felony, loss of license 3 times. Hillary and Rick worked on that one together. Then Hillary actually called the only witness, who was the driver. Without that ammunition, you might want to say, against them, and the fact that, you know, that there was just no, I mean, we shot them down as far as credibility. You know, I believe that they really had me destined. In fact, my criminal defense attorney, he asked me, he said, how in the world did you find this information out? He was actually mad, or appeared to be mad, that these advocates had worked together to, you know, find this information out. And so what I do is I take what they did for me, and I do that for somebody else. Like right now, I know exactly what to do in Kim's case. I know exactly what to do. There's a lady listening tonight. I hope she gets a chance to speak, from North Carolina. They've taken her husband. They're setting her up like a deck of cards. I've told her exactly what to do. Don't go in there without a witness. Call that hospital and document every bit of mistreatment you're receiving, because all I can do is say what I would have done. And with no doubt, had I known what I know now, I could have saved my husband. And that's really about all I've got to say. But I will say that Kim is one of the lucky ones. I mean, I would have given anything to take care of my husband. If I had to give him everything, my house, my car, everything, I would have given to be with him those last couple of months of his life, because it showed how emotionally abused he was. And, you know, I had an autopsy done that showed the abuse and neglect. He had wounds all over his body into the bone. And, I mean, he was so abused and neglected. So, you know, I mean, Kim's a lucky one. We have to take her case and say, take the good out of it and say, okay, how can we get them, you know, on this corruption as far as the money? And I'm telling you, the Social Security is the way to go. This daughter is not entitled to do what she's doing.
Absolutely not. And you know, there's one other thing is, she doesn't have custody of her own daughter. She has not had custody of her daughter for 9 years. She gets to see her, our granddaughter. She gets to see her once in a while. And that's it.
Wow.
And yes. And
yet she's got custody of your husband. It's just, I mean, you know, you just need to get in that court and you need to take a stand. You just need to challenge it, file a motion for an immediate hearing on this Social Security check. Something's got to be done. Also, notify Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
I would have been on the phone to Social Security every day. I tell you that much.
I would have too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
How about the IRS? Can she reach the IRS?
Well, they guaranteed my paycheck, and it wasn't my debt. And they guaranteed me a couple paychecks, probably close to $1,000. And I had to get an attorney out of Buffalo to help me. And they did, thank God, because they released it, you know, because that's not my debt. I did not run our business. I did not ruin our business. You know, the thing is you know, and it's my husband ran the business. He had people in place that were managers that did certain things. Things didn't get done. Money came up missing. So, you know, go ahead and blame the wife. The wife always gets blamed. And I, you know, I get so upset about that because why pin it on the wife? But then, like I said, remember what I said at the very beginning. The wife is the gatekeeper. The wife is the when you're together, husband and wife is very powerful. And they want to break it up, so they're going to blame everything on the wife.
All right. Another thing is we need to find a constitutional lawyer to go in and challenge just one case in the Supreme – I mean, in the Supreme Court on the marriage contract. In other words, if our husbands had these documents in place, power of attorney, advanced medical, before they supposedly, you know, were named incompetent, you know, then, and we have a marriage contract in place, why in the world are you able to come in and say this wife is interfering with care, she's given the husband poison, she's assaulting? I mean, there's all these crazy, every one of these cases has some nuts out here. But what I'm saying is what we need to do is show all of these cases and you know, how many of these nurses, these case management workers in hospitals, listen, they're all a part of it. And you know, this business on the police arresting you, do you know in my case when this nurse made up this false police report about me, and this was all found out through a criminal record, Hillary had a nurse friend who was wonderful at digging deeper and found out she had lost her license in three different states as a nurse. I mean, that ought to be scary to all of us that any nurse is allowed to even be a nurse over an incompetent, supposedly, patient with that kind of a criminal record. I'm talking about assault with a deadly weapon against her own daughter. So, you know, what I'm saying is I tried Florida police and went to a commissioner's meeting. I even went to Henry County to the police department, filed a police report for false police. You know what they told me? It's a civil case. We don't get involved with civil. So it goes to show you the police are in on it. The lawyers can get the police to arrest you. It's all it's the corruption that I am telling you. It is so – I have studied this for 2 years. It is just unbelievable, the depth of this corruption.
That's
it
horrible.
Is.
I think we got a lot of pissed off people on the show because our phone lines are lighting up. I mean,
let's listen to them. I'm waiting on one from North Carolina. That's a case that I've been really, you know, every day on the phone, you can make this, you can do this, because they've taken her husband, and, you know, God bless her. She's as strong as she can be. So let's try to see who's on here. Maybe we've got more wives than we know we've got. So,
yeah, let's go ahead and start with the ones that called in first. I'll bring in a 704 number, and then we'll just go right down the line. I've got four to six calls here. And I'm going to let everybody the way you call into our show is the same number every week. It's 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. Sometimes you might have to put a 1 in front of that, and they might charge you a penny per minute. I don't know why that's happening, but it does happen. I mean, Robin could even call into the show one time.
they were charging him, but it happened. So it's whatever you want to do. I've tried to talk to him. I've never been able to figure it out. But anyway, that was the 704 number. You're live on the air with Faceless Radio. Question or a comment?
Yes. Hi. Good evening. Can you hear me? Yes, my name is Claudia Russ, and I am from Charlotte, North Carolina, Mecklenburg County. And wait, I've got to take a deep breath. So, yes, my husband Devin, was taken. He is 55 years old. He was taken October 5th in a guardianship. He's in the hospital, and he currently still is in the hospital. He has had dementia for a number of years. He was a former pilot, lost his job because of it. And back in April of 23, he has childhood trauma. He had a severe PTSD episode, which landed us in the hospital. As we all know, somebody with dementia, that there is nothing medically necessary. They did not even acknowledge that it was a PTSD episode, even though the medics were like, whoa, this is PTSD for sure. They gave him ketamine. They don't give ketamine to people with dementia, you know. So what ended up happening, he was in observation for 7 days straight, chemically and physically restrained for, I say seven, but I believe it was totally 6 days, 24/7 he was in restraints. Now, this is somebody with a history of PTSD, physically tied to the bed 24/7 and then heavily medicated. You know, I fought them the whole entire time up until the mother took out a petition in July. Now, let me just go back. So I'm going to the hospital every day. The restraints, when he was moved to a unit, they told me that he's going to be restrained on this unit. And I was like, there's no way. Like, you can't just put a restraint a man, right? My husband was physically strong. You know, we did life, even though he had dementia and he couldn't speak. We did life at home. We have a senior in high school. This is her senior year, and we are going through this. So it's pretty – it's a lot. He has been on the unit. I was up there every day. Well, anything with dementia, they just want to treat with antipsychotics, you know, atypical antipsychotics, typical antipsychotics. They just use whatever they want to just get the person to just not – I think they're – you know, they just don't want to deal with people. They don't. Yeah. I used to bring healthy stuff. I was there every day, all day. I would stay with him. And prior to going into the hospital, I just want to say because we've been through this dementia for so long, the medical community just does not address it, right? They don't get to the root cause. So we did a lot of unconventional treatment things, which were actually working and getting him better, okay? So then for this episode to happen and then them trying to force all these medications, many of you probably know that as pilots, pilots just don't take medication. I mean, they have to report everything to the FAA, so they are very, very medication-free, right? And my husband, other than the dementia, he's healthy as anything, you know, no other co-diagnosis or anything. So anything what happened is, to this day, I don't know if the hospital reached out to the family and then the family jumped on the bandwagon. I'm not sure. That what happened to mother, who lost custody of my husband when he was
You're fading in and out. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're starting to fade in and out. Yeah, go ahead and try it.
Intermittently. If there's anything you can do to get a clearer reception on your phone, please do that. Because we're losing you.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, hold on.
Are you with your husband? Are you with your husband now?
No, no. They're trying to, they've done everything they can to, you know, just get me out of the picture. The hospital claims that I am a threat and a harm to him. And this is how they called once the petition came out. Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, yeah. So once the petition came out, it was I had an attorney at the time because the hospital felt like there's, you know, he needs nursing home care. I've never been one with nursing home care, right? So I was very opposed to that. I was just opposed to everything that they were doing because it was not in the best interest of my husband. The more they medicated him, the worse it got. Nobody was connecting the dots. My daughter and I met with the physicians, with the administration repeatedly, you know, like it's not even an FDA, it's the drugs they're trying to give him. They're not even FDA approved for his condition. And so it just became where I am in their way. I am, you know, a harm to my husband. This is how I continue to be. Once the petition came out, they called an emergency hearing. At that time, I was allowed to go see him 3 days a week. Now I had seen him every day, you know, all day long. So they told me, no, you don't have that right. You know, we're going to tell you when you can go. And 3 days should be plenty. And it was limited to the hours, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but what happened during that time, any time I would go up there, they were just sexually inappropriate towards my husband. They'd say, it was just, I could go on and on, right? But I don't want to go there.
Claudia, how long have you been married? How long have you been married?
20 years. 20 years.
20 years. Okay.
20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And so petition, it was an incomplete petition.
Right.
It was nefarious. It accused me. There was no evidence of any of it. The first person I spoke with, I had two attorneys. The first attorney allowed this to happen. The first attorney should have told me, you need to pull your husband out of the hospital. Nope. They told me, no, this is a nefarious petition. It's not even complete. You have nothing to worry about. This emergency hearing will take 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you will be asked yes or no questions. I was totally misled. I was questioned by a guardian ad litem for 3 hours, and it was nothing, no or yes or no questions. Do you know what I mean? It was all like questions. And my daughter was in that hearing. It was just, you know, they accused me of using my husband's money. And I mean, we had all the paperwork. I have durable power of attorney, medical advance directives, everything, right? And at that time, my lawyer told me that we can't, you know, you can't use any of this, you know.
They ain't worth shit papers. I get it. So I understand what's going on with your story. So what I want to do, Becky, is this the person you were talking about that had a story, or is there another one? I've got like a bunch more people coming on.
Right. And, Luann, there's some really striking similarities in her case that I knew to look out for. Like, you know, I knew in my case what I had done wrong, and one of them was every time that the hospital did something inappropriate, I did not have it documented. So I've, you know, I work with her and say, okay, like the other day when a nurse made an inappropriate comment, she said something about dating her husband. We called and
we made a report on that. We're gonna call even the Board of Nursing and make so in other words, we can look at these cases and know, you know, how they are parallel and what happened to ours, what we did wrong, because in the example that I want to give you is when they would walk me down at Halifax and say, come on, Miss Harbor, we're going to go for a little walk. And I say, what did I do? He said, nothing wrong. And he just laughed. That would be the security officer. Well, what they would do is document on the record, Miss Harbor had to be escorted out of the room. Well, had I had that documented or recorded, and recording I was legal in that particular hospital, they'll tell you it's not, but it's a state-run hellhole, so it was, then, you know, I would have had proof that that was a lie. So what I try to do is say, gosh, if I would have just done this. And so that's what we do in each one of these cases that, you know, I find out and I try to help out, you know, like just like the advocates did for me. I mean, I really believe they saved my life. I really do.
Yeah, I believe that too. We're going to go ahead and say goodbye to Claudia for right now. And Claudia, I do have your phone number, so
okay.
I'll be in touch with you later about all that. I'd like to talk to you further in depth and talk about, you know, what's going on, because this husbands and wives is something that I carry on too. I carry it on with my husband too. So it's important that we bring these cases forward. So I will keep you, I'll keep in touch with you, Claudia, as well. We're going to go ahead and look at the next. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and go on to a 407 number. We've got five more phone calls, people. This is really an important topic. We have a 407 area code. Do you have a question or a comment? You're live on the air. Hold on. 407. Anybody want to speak up?
Hello, you're live on the air.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and mute them, and if you decide that you do want to speak, hang up, call back in, and I will go ahead and bring you back in. We're going to bring an 845 number on. 845, you have a question or a comment, area code.
Hi, I have a comment. Can you hear me all right?
Yes,
Okay. I'm very sorry for everybody's troubles, that's for sure. It's you know, never-ending cycle of people being terrorized by the legal system and the medical system and all of this. But I wanted to address the first guest with the daughter who has power of attorney or is the representative receiving Social Security. I know if you go to your this is just a suggestion, and then I'll get off. If you go to your local Social Security office, before you do anything, go to your local Social Security office. They have a pamphlet there that, you know, addresses the responsibilities of a personal representative or, you know, whoever is having those fiduciary duties to the recipient of Social Security and what can be done when. And it's really very detailed. And it itemizes, you know, the duties, responsibilities, but also when there are violations and, you know, monies are being misappropriated or, you know, along those lines. And it tells you what to do about it. You have every right to, you know, to dispute what's going on. It's outrageous. And I would document as much as you can, including, firstly, Exhibit A is the order of the court and the judge person, your daughter. Unfortunately, you know, they exploit people, family members, you know, it's a means to an end for them. They don't care. But your daughter has a problem, obviously, but they have cashed in on that. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But I would definitely check with the Social Security, do whatever it says to do in there to notify them of this misappropriation, and contact also, send a copy to the Inspector General for both the IRS and the Social Security Administration. And if you care
that's a good idea.
yes,
a courtesy
it
copy, if you feel like it, to the judge. But, I mean, the legal system that does all this harm to us is not going to be the avenue for redress. It's just not. But that's my opinion also.
No.
But definitely,
yeah.
Definitely try to get a hold of that booklet. I would stay away from phone calls, everything in writing, everything certified mail. Okay? And
yes.
God bless you and good luck
Thank
to
you.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
Thank
good
you.
Information. Thank you. Appreciate it. We're going to bring in another caller. I'm going to just say just the first word and the area code because I have a feeling someone wants to call in. It's a 4, so... I'm not going to yell at the area code. It starts with a 4. Say hello. I don't know it's you.
Hello.
Hello. You're live on the air?
Hi.
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 Welcome.
Greetings to everyone.
Uh-huh. Welcome.
My name is Valerie Bird. I'm calling from Georgia. I'm familiar with Becky. Hi, Becky. Hi, Marcy.
Miss Bird, where you been?
Well, I've been around. I'm moving in silence. You know, I'm still on mission, trying to advocate for where my mother fell victim to a fraudulent tip. And Becky, you were very instrumental at the time of my mother's passing. I had no one to talk to. I didn't even know how to tell my daughter.
Oh, you sweet girl.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to continue to fight and share your story. I love you all.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm
you,
not
Valerie.
A husband or a wife. I'm a daughter. But every time I hear these stories, when you just scrape all of that away, the legal abuse is the same. Victimized. I feel like, you know, it happened, you know, physically and emotionally to my mother, but I became the focus and the attack. I have a case right now in DeKalb County that I'm going to fight for wrongful arrest in December of 2022. To this day, they have not even got one statement from me, call one potential witness or nothing. And I know it's all a game that, you know, it was to silence me, but I'm not silent. I'm moving in silence. But I encourage each person to tell their story. Maybe we will one day all meet and unite in Washington, D.C., and we'll just stand there until someone give us answers. But they know this game. The text, the
they do.
Playbook is all the same. When you just scrape it all away, it's the same. Junk, and this must stop.
Yes,
and this happened long before my mother became a victim to this system. But you know, I hurt, but I know that I can't stop now. I'm too far deep in it. You know, when I tried to advocate for my mom, I reported things to a system that never was going to do anything, and you know, it's unfortunate that greedy siblings see what was happening, and when they felt that the system was going to probate, was going to allow them to control my mother. She's not property. That was our mother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so my family initiated this probate mess, and when it did not go their way, then it became a personal attack against me to get me out of the way. And in the end, none of the material things they were trying to get has been settled or removed. We lost our mom. And, you know, that hurts the worst of anything. Like you, Becky, I would have given everything away to be able to take care of my mom, even if we just left this bullshit, excuse my French, left these material things, and I just took my mother across state lines somewhere else. And just get her to be able to live her golden years in peace. You know, that was all stolen.
Yeah,
and
Valerie's another
Yeah, Valerie's another victim of false arrest. Brandon Haas, they're really bad in Georgia. What they do is they come up with, they don't just make a false accusation like in Florida. Here in Georgia, man, they arrest you, buddy. It's like they don't care, and the police are in on it. And, yes I know this do. Valerie Byrd case up and down. God almighty, it's a bad one.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
And I am not for.
Oh my gosh! To talk to
I will
more,
not
Valerie.
I'm not giving up on you.
I do have your number down as well, and Becky has your information as well. So
yes.
I'm so sorry, yep. for Mom. You know, and you're right. This bullshit has to stop. I agree. I mean, I've been doing these shows for 8 years. I'm sick and tired of this shit. You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Yes, that's right.
That's
right.
You know what I mean?
Is no one should have to suffer that. No one should lose the respect and their dignity to the a stroke of a pen by a judge. The judge is not a doctor. Okay, so why can't we be lawyers if the judge can become a doctor for that moment? Why we can't represent ourselves, our loved ones, with the POA or the medical director? Why can't we enforce those? Like you said, that becomes like toilet paper. Just
right.
totally railroad yep. some of these decisions of what they wanted, you know, to happen in the absence of making a sound decision for themselves. But
right.
I thank
no,
you. I thank you. I love each of you. Continue
right.
to advocate. They're going to hear us. They're going
also,
to hear us. If we were doing right, they would not be fighting against us.
Right. I also want to mention on our radio show why before I go to the next person to call in, Robin and I are writing a probate book. It's been in the works for about 7 years for me. I've been writing. And we are taking stories in from all over the nation about these stories. And it's basically, we're not putting names in of attorneys. We're not putting in names of that. We're just trying to conceal basically identities of people so they don't, you know, so the book goes on without a hitch. But I'm gonna let everybody know right now, and then I'm gonna go back to some more callers. So this is what we're doing: we're writing a book that deals with the corruption in our judicial system. It will focus on the abuses happening in the probate and family courts. We're seeking submissions illustrative of what happens when unethical court pillage families, but emotionally powerful. It must be factual and backed up with documentation. If you have such a story, submit it to us at Faceus Radio, FACEUS Radio, at hotmail.com. We want you to add your permission to use your story, your name, city and state, and keep the subject matter not personal with no
identifiable
characteristics. It should not be traceable to any specific individuals to avoid litigation. No more than one page by March 1st, 2024, and I have some of the stories already. I just want your okay to use them, so I just wanted to put that out there. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next caller, but I want to go back to the area code. It has a 4 in front of it. I'm going to bring you on in case you have something to say. Go ahead. You're on the Go ahead.
I have a question first real quick.
Sure.
Okay. I have a possible solution. I thought about this for a while, and it's a possible one. Why don't, like when they go behind closed doors, when they sign something, these greedy individuals for the guardianship, and they go in with their attorney and they're in front of a judge, and they do this all behind closed doors, of course, there should be a law that says, you know what, we need to see this individual. We need to speak to this individual before it gets too far, as far as it gets.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because all
yes.
of this is done behind closed doors, and all the lies, all the deceit, no facts. There's no facts. It's all hearsay. So, you know, with that being said, isn't a judge supposed to go by the facts, the truth, proof?
Mm-hmm.
Not hearsay. Hearsay shouldn't be admissible.
I know. Well, I'll tell that to the judges. It's like you really can't tell them anything. I mean, they're supposed to. It's in the Constitution. Robin and I have been writing a book on this. We've been writing down everything on here. And they are supposed to be fair and impartial. And we have it in the book. I mean, it's like fair, impartial. You're supposed to listen to families. You're up there to be the referee, not give these people the authority to take someone else's family, a husband or wife, out of their homes, uncle, cousin, whatever. You know what? It's so.
Yep. And their rights. You're taking their rights away. Like, look what
everything
they did to Jeff and they do to others. They're taking their rights. They're taking their whole right, their whole.
Their identity.
I mean,
it's
their identity theft.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's really horrible. Let's try to go back to that four number. I'm not going to say the area code. Just start talking and we'll know what you. If you want to come on the air. If not, we'll move on. Area code 4. Are you still
You've got
on there?
Your hand raised. And your area code begins with 4. You can speak now.
Okay, say hello. Okay. Let's go ahead and mute that one again. Let's get on to a 980 number, 980. You have a question or a comment?
Hey, Luann. This is Ann out of North Carolina. Just going to be brief because I've definitely enjoyed your program so far tonight. Basically wanted to just send a FYI out to the Claudia caller that's got an issue going on in North Carolina where I'm located. I'm 30 minutes. I'm 30 minutes down the road from where, less than 30 minutes from her location in the county she speaks of. That's the same county that I'm involved with presently have a lawsuit against based on guardianship underlying issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
know exactly what she speaks of because it was shocking to hear her say the county, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that's the same county that's involved in the very players that's involved in. Well, she didn't name them, but there's a certain cartel of county attorneys. Charlotte, she actually named the city. They are the biggest city in North Carolina, biggest in North Carolina. And North Carolina, you know, they pretty much – are the chief takers, that county that she named, they are bringing millions of dollars into this state. And this just shows what she's run into is a systematic corruption.
Ooh.
That's why they get the same results.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So
this is awesome.
Because I wasn't going to call in. I just was talking out your email address.
That was the Claudia one, right? Her name was Claudia?
Yes.
Luann, I actually told her, I said, you got to go on this show. Maybe there'll be somebody from North Carolina that'll call in. I can't believe this. This is awesome.
Yeah, I just happened to tune
well,
in to you know about.
I've been taking pictures of it with my iPhone because I've got quite a few callers tonight, so I actually have to start
trying to keep track.
I'm trying to keep track of everybody on here, so hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay,
definitely
so
don't
on.
Lose this lady. Can we get your phone number?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
my little email typed
the
out.
North Carolina lady, can we get your number? Because we are working really hard on that case.
Yes. It's amazing how quickly these vultures grab hold of that whole, they got it like a well-trained machine because they know what is that needs to be there. The Garnet Lightham comes and does her piece, and then the so-called attorney, oh, that's totally common what she said about him misleading her. That's all on purpose. They've got a role to play.
Yeah.
They've got to get her disarmed and be able to keep her calm and not fight. This is not going to be anything. That's been told hundreds of times by so many of these victims. They're in on it. So they will do
for
nothing to stop what's going on. When they get before a judge, it's all like a well-oiled machine. So you definitely have to throw a monkey wrench in it and outside the box.
Theater.
Yes,
it's
absolutely. Grand theater.
Pretense of, we're going to help you, when in fact they know that they're not going to help.
No.
They got history.
Hey, Robin, I call it bringing the sheep to the altar.
Yes, absolutely. Straight to slaughter. So, yeah, I can hear the pain, you know, the pain in her voice. Obviously, you're so stunned at what you're experiencing, like Claudia was speaking. It's like you don't, if you've never been exposed to their corrupt world, then you're reeling. You're on your heels trying to figure out, who do I go to? Who do I talk to? And every party you talk to, including the hospital, they, again, are reporters to these corrupt people, even though they know what they're saying is not true and that they are violating rights. They don't care because it's a system they have in place to keep their power and their money coming. So they're all players
They're
washing each other's back. They keep quiet about the corruption, and the people suffer. So I, you know, would love to be in contact with her as I can, and as I can at least give heads up to the things that may be possible to do. I'm kind of slammed with meeting deadlines for court and attending school at the same time, paralegal school. So, but it's always a blessing to be able to pass on information and network.
Right.
Well, could we ask, could I just ask
permission.
A question?
With your permission, I will probably go on a three-way call tonight and get people hooked up.
We will reconnect with you and try to hook some people up that want to get together.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Oh, boy. Good. Thank you. That's the good thing about calling into our shows. You know, we do hook a lot of people up together.
We have been able to build a lot of coalitions across this nation to help those to network with each other to build their strength, because there is strength in numbers and many minds working together gives us a stronger ability to see a situation from many points of view, to bring to a situation many different ways of understanding it and approaches to, in this case, attacking it, because we're in a war. If we break it down to its essential elements, we have people that are being taken by the enemy and killed, taken by the enemy and held as hostages, and the enemy is using divide and conquer tactics where they alienate from one another all of your allies. If you have allies in your immediate circle, such as your family members or loved ones, or even friends, whoever it is that is your support team, they will alienate them, and they will do it in a way where they'll have them arrested, or they'll malign them, malign their name before the judge, and then the judge can use that as an excuse. And, I mean, when I say that, it sounds rather callous. The judge can use that as an excuse. It sounds like the judge is in on it. But honestly, in my estimation, seeing the broad and deep corruption that we find in these courtrooms, I have to believe that many judges are deeply involved in these schemes and scams whereby people are defrauded of all their money, their life, their freedom. It doesn't happen that this person is sitting there in charge of the organization that is allowing these things to happen and having no idea of what's really going on. They're not being fooled. They're complicit. And this is my belief. Do I have evidence? Well, there is some evidence, yes, and we're accumulating more. And when we have the right kinds of evidence in the right ways, then these people will pay the price for their crimes. Because as I've said before, these are crimes. When you make an oath as a judge that you will uphold the Constitution, both of your state and federal, the United States Constitution, that is binding. And when you break that oath, that is criminal violation of your oath. And it may be difficult to hold you responsible. It may be that you have a team in place that makes it hard to approach you. Mm-hmm. It may be that you feel you're insulated. But believe me when I tell you, there is a higher court and there is a higher power. And that higher power is working to thwart your schemes, and you may one day face a higher court, and you might find yourself, that might be an earthly higher court, or it might be a heavenly higher court, mm-hmm. but you're going to pay for your crimes.
Right, and I think I was talking to another woman later this week. Her name was Beverly Shaw. I don't know how many of you heard her name, but she, I think, was on the Cause show lately, and they have her husband as well. So I'm not sure if anybody's
yes.
familiar with that. Her name is Beverly
yes.
Shaw. I'm going to get her on to our show possibly next week. I think that they had 43 years of marriage, and she's trying to get her husband and all that. They also have her husband, so I'm going to try to get her on to our show as well. Hopefully next week, maybe bring Becky back with us as well. But I think we need to keep, you know, talking about this. And it's been a lot lately. Becky, don't you agree lately that it's been a lot? And Hillary, I know you're still in there. What are you thinking, Hillary? I know you're thinking, oh, my God, what's going on here? Hillary, you still with us?
Again,
go ahead, Hillary.
Sorry,
go ahead.
It's so outrageous that the average person who has thankfully not been touched, they just think that it couldn't happen. But, I mean, Becky and I know a woman whose husband was put into guardianship by a daughter in Seminole County, and they accused, and I know the woman very well, very, very well, and they accused her of trying to poison her husband. We have another case that the wife, same thing, that they accused the wife of trying to poison her husband with arsenic. It is just so
yep.
unbelievable. It happens, and people are seeing so much now with, you know, Take Care of Maya and what happened at Johns Hopkins Hospital, you know, but we have to remember that that case was one in a million that the family didn't sign off on the care plan, and that's why they can sue. DCF has immunity. You know, there was a bill, I don't know if it passed, I'm sure it did, with Colleen Burton, that the nursing homes would get immunity if anything happened. And it's absolutely outrageous. And Becky, you thanked me, and I thank you. That's nice, but you are a fighter, and it would have been so easy just to put your hands up in the air and, you know, and go away and say, I can't fight the devil, but you are still fighting the good fight and helping other people at the same time. So I just want to mention quickly that after 4 years, and I remember meeting Mrs. Rojas at, I think, one of the last functions that Sam Sugar did in, I want to say, Orlando. It was Orlando or Tampa. Her special needs child, Omar, was put in the guardianship with Kyle Bells, who's the attorney for the guardian, and Susan Whitney was the guardian. Susan Whitney told a nurse that she would take, if she had to take a noose and put it around the mother's neck, she would, to get Omar out of the house. And he was under guardianship for 4 years, and it wasn't the outcome we wanted, but it's a step towards the final great outcome. Mrs. Rojas became her son's guardian last week, thanks to Ray.
Boy.
Oh, that's great.
Great.
And
we're going to have to get her back.
Wow.
When she gets her son.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
right.
Never should have happened. Never should have happened to Becky, but you know something? Just have to keep fighting.
Yeah.
That's right. We do.
Yep.
Because it's a worthy cause.
We've got a couple more people that are coming on our show. Let's get some more callers in. 858 number. You have your hand raised. Do you have a question, comment? You want to get in touch with
someone? Oh, yes, I did. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I did have a comment. The first lady that spoke, I think her name was Kim, and I just wanted to say, has she thought that maybe about her daughter could be a sociopath or psychopathic? There were several things she said that made me feel like, you know, the lack of empathy, the lack of concern for her dad, it just doing all of this to her family, that's not something normal, so, you know, so to speak, normal. behavior of a daughter. So I think she might want to look up the what a sociopath or psychopathic people are like, because that fits with the psychopathic, you know, they have no empathy or low empathy. They have no guilt, no remorse for doing things that are just unbelievably horrible to others. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of traits, and you can find books on that, obviously, so psychopaths or sociopaths.
You know,
it's one other thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say there's also a tactic that I thought might be very helpful for her to know about, and maybe you wanted to mention this in the book, because this is the tactic called DARVO, and it's spelled capital D, capital A, capital R, capital V, capital O, and that is an acronym that stands for deny, attack, and reverse order of the victim and the offender. So it describes, and I wrote this down because it's from the internet. You can look it up on the internet on Google. It describes a manipulative tactic often used by abusers, which would include psychopaths, sociopaths, and malignant narcissists, to avoid taking responsibility for their actions and to shift the blame onto their victims. And predators always use this, or almost always use this tactic. So that's something that Kim might want to look into. And I think it's important to understand the tactics that are used against us by predators, because, you know, a lot of people are very unfamiliar and unaware that predators use these tactics. And it's very common. And a lot of people don't even know about this.
That's very interesting that you say that, because when her father and I, when she was going to rehab, the counselor asked her, you know, as we were in the office with the counselor and her, the counselor says, well, you know, How did you get away with this without not your parents knowing what you were doing? And she right away, she immediately said she was a good actress. It just came right out of her like it was just natural. She said she was a good actress.
Wow.
And I mean, she's been in and out of rehab. She was in and out of rehab. I do believe it was in 2017. She was caught, I think it was for a DUI, because she was under the influence of drugs. And so they remanded her to a rehab in Florida. And then when she got out of Florida, she relapsed, and then she was remanded to Arizona. So she just doesn't want to quit. She is...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. And like you said, a sociopath, I do believe there's one particular, I'm trying to think which one it is, that the counselors really do not like to have, or to because they can't treat that person, because they'll stab you in the back. They'll be so good to your front, but stab you in the back. I mean, we've been dealing with this for so many years. I mean, I want to say... My husband and I have been dealing with this with the addicted adult kids for probably close to 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
and
go
they're
look
not
at what they're... Oh boy, I tell you what, I'm like, wow, I know some people like that. God. Wow. I just looked it up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's perfect.
It's a good thing to know about the psychopath.
Everybody, I'm gonna have. Yeah, we'll put that in the book. Absolutely.
Yeah, and psychopaths and sociopaths, they often will bring their victims into the system. So that's the thing, is they are relentless, and they always cause devastation and destruction, and they bring people into the system. So the system benefits from these dysfunctional sociopathic or malignant narcissists, whatever they want to be labeled, or whatever they can be labeled, but they are bringing them into the system, and the system then benefits from these dysfunctional people bringing them their newest commodity to fleece. So exactly.
I think you've talked about my family.
I have said for many years that these out-of-control courts appear to take the form of an institutionalized sociopath.
Yeah, I do too.
They have all the characteristics.
Profit
when you search up, when you search out the characteristics of a sociopath, they do harm intentionally with pleasure quite often. They don't have any empathy. They don't have any sympathy or empathy. They're not. They don't respond like an ordinary human being might. They are happy to lie to your face. They'll gaslight you and lie to the court, lie to your face, lie to the public, lie to everybody. And these are qualities that when they're in an individual, you call them, well, that's a psychopath, a sociopath. But when it's an institution, it's a court.
It just says,
the way I see it.
It says you've been darvoed. I'm like, oh, my God, you've been darvoed. I mean, thank you for letting us know. I mean, like, I think I learn something new every time I get callers in here. I appreciate that. You know what? And you're right. The courts are profiting from these people that are the narcissists that just want to be in charge. They bring, you know, their families into court. The families have to fight back. The attorneys sit back and saying, yeah, let's bring on some more of these families. That's how we profit.
Oh, that's their best friend.
The courts
recognize that this is a profit center for them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I have heard over and over and over that seemed like the weirdest thing when I would hear these stories is that the court would hand over a loved one to the most criminal element they could find in the family.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoever's the worst,
they
would hand over the loved one to them. And of course, if you analyze that from how can I, the court, maximize my profits, well, if I put this person into harm's way, then every good person that cares about them is going to try to battle against that to protect that loved one from that harm.
Mm-hmm.
So they all have to go and get lawyers. And they all have to come before the court.
Yeah.
Those lawyers banter back and forth at $500 or $1,000 an hour, and you can take a whole family they're worth than just one person.
I feel like I've been darvoed, everybody. Oh, my God. I'm going to come up with that saying. Oh, my God. Thank you for calling with that. That is something else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. You've got a brave, beautiful voice, by the way, on the radio as well. I love that. Really always knowledgeable. You've been on a couple of times to come on our show and talk. And, you know, you said some amazing things. I like that. It's cool. Anyway, we're going to move on to one more number. 773 number. Appreciate you. 773 number.
Yes. Yes. Good evening. This is Aldona.
Hello, Aldona.
Hi,
Aldona. Yes. I would like to mention that Kim mentioned if court could bring person to the court to speak for themselves. But the problem is the court doesn't want to do this. Like when my mom was under guardianship and the lawyer said, oh, we can bring your mom to the court so she can speak up. But then next day they over-medicated my mom so badly that she was talking out of blue, and I'm like, no way that she can be in the court in this condition. So they know how to play the game.
Right.
Yes.
And that's
right.
the problem. And attorneys are also afraid to lose their licenses, the good attorneys. And I feel like maybe they should lose it, and maybe they should show the system that something is wrong. But I know the bad ones, they're making a lot of money on our loved ones. And
they're making a fortune.
They're making fortune, yes. And another thing, I was listening, second lady, that she said my husband got dementia, and she's 65. In my opinion, he's too young to have that kind of sickness. So what I'm looking overall, in United States, people eat very badly, and they causing themselves the sickness. Like, sometimes I question why people eat cereal. Cereal brings dementia. But I know it's convenient to eat cereal with milk at morning because it's no work.
Well, you know, they do have early onset dementia. You know, they do. My husband had early onset dementia. And I do believe that it was his eating habits. I do believe that. Now I believe that. I actually told all the doctors back then 20 years ago that they were crazy to even talk like that.
That he had frontal brain
dementia. I have that in the book as well. I mean, I talk about that as well. And you don't believe it when someone tells your husband, 48 years old, he has possible frontal lobe brain dementia. You're like, you're crazy. You are out of this world, and I did not accept it whatsoever. Today, I absolutely do believe it. I would
like to mention since my mom died, I do holistic a lot. I involve myself, and when I tell people holistically what they can do for the body, some of them, but there is maybe side effects. But when they go to doctor and take 10 pills, what doctor will give them, that it's okay. Why people don't want to look at holistically what they can do? They can drink spirulina every day, and it will take toxins out of the body. It's a lot of things they can do, but
I know there's a lot of things they can do. Right.
Exactly, and maybe we can beat the system and not to go to the doctor.
There you go. That's how we got to do it. We got to try to beat the system so we don't end up in guardianship where no one can talk.
In the guardianship, exactly. Thank you, all of you.
Okay.
And I also I would like to edit that I was on Becky Harper 8 hours on Zoom, and this issue should be resolved in like 20 minutes in room. It shouldn't go 8 hours. They created the job. They created job that brings them money, and court system is happy, and it shouldn't be this way.
Right.
Exactly. People shouldn't be murdered for money, because what they doing, they murdering our loved ones.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, thank you. Well, I agree with that.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you kindly.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No, that's true. That's true. Exactly, you know. You guys have been amazing, Shaw. I'm just saying that our phone lines are just went crazy for a minute. And I tell you what, that's really good that people are understanding what's going on. So Kim, let's get back to you for a second. What do you want to see happen? You know, in your case, what do you want to see?
Okay.
You know,
what I would like to see happen, and I'm sure it will, but you know, God willing, and is that our daughter, you know, she, okay. What I want to see happen is that. She is exposed for what she has done, and this is what it's going to take. There's no more of like the last time when, you know, the courts and she assaulted me, and then I said go to a counselor. Well, that never happened. So in this situation, this is very serious. This wrecked the family. This basically. You know, it's just we're about to lose our properties because city and county taxes weren't paid in the past 4 years, which her dad's Social Security money could have taken care of that. For what she has done, she has really, really hurt us deeply. And I want to see justice. I want to see her brought to court and face the consequences of everything that she has done to us.
Right. And I would say she better be accountable for all of those. That is a dangerous thing to get into. I know that for a fact. I mean, I was so careful with my mom's checks, with everything, because I knew it was federal.
Absolutely.
Jim
always, listen, he always paid his bills. He always took care of his debt. And, you know, the taxes, he took care of that, you know. And so, you know, this is devastating for us, you know. And for me to see his face, the look on his face, to see a grown man with tears in his eyes and totally lost and not knowing what to do and the feeling of that all his rights are taken away as a human being, you know, for everything that he's accomplished. I mean, he was even a pilot for a while, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, he did a lot of amazing things, and I'm so very proud of him. And for all of this to happen, and it's just, you know, a greedy family member who wants to take it all along with her attorney and other attorneys and whoever else is involved, you know, it's devastating, you know. I mean, the people who went, you know, there was ex-employees who went up in court, you know, when we were in court, and, you know, and they, all these things that they said about me was just so cruel and hurtful and lies and things that weren't true. And, you know, it just made me feel as though, I didn't bother the employees. You know, my husband had employees, so they, you know, he took care of that end of it. And I didn't get into their business. But, you know, I think some of them really, like the boyfriend that she has now, who is an ex-employee, he wants that business. He wants to be the Jim Mason. And actually, our daughter wants to be me, and I don't like it. It's not normal. It's not right. And it isn't. It really isn't.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
And you know,
Hillary? Are you still there, Hillary?
Yes, I am.
I know she is.
I am.
Okay. So, So what do you feel about all this tonight on the show?
I feel it was an awesome show, and this is only, you know, the tip of the problems happening in our hospital system, that people are either going to the hospital and being put into guardianship, and the loved one who has been the caretaker for, you know, years and years and years, or just, you know, accompanying their loved one to the hospital, they are being singled out and ostracized and made to seem as they are a guilty party. Only so a guardianship can be initiated so that money can be made by the hospital and the court system. So it's a very important topic, and it's overlooked how couples are being separated by guardianships. There's a couple in Pinellas County, Pat and her husband, Roger Zach. Mr. Zach's son petitioned to put both the husband and wife in a guardianship. They've been in a guardianship for maybe, I'll say, 6 months. Roger vocal, calling everyone to complain about what's going on, filed a suggestion of capacity on himself, and his wife, out of the blue, she died from stress.
Oh my God.
And you think about, it's hard enough, you know, I'm in my 50s, it's hard enough getting, you know, aging is not easy, and our mothers would say, you know, what was the saying, youth is wasted on the young. But, you know, when you have the court interject themselves and say that you're incapacitated when you're not, or even if you are, who really gives a shit if you have someone to take care of you? It's beyond heartbreaking.
You said it exactly right.
What did I say?
Wow.
Even
Or even if you are, who really gives a shit if you have someone to take care of you?
Exactly.
And that's how it should be.
That's
these courts
right.
are interjecting themselves into people's lives when they've got no damn business doing it.
Exactly. So right, they don't
exactly.
I mean, it's like when my mom had dementia. These people didn't need to come into our lives and sell all of our property and take everything that they wanted for themselves, you know? I was doing that perfectly well on our own, everything. We didn't have no room for any of that, but yet it happened. So it does
and
happen. I mean,
and this is
a profitable business, as we name it in the book. It's profitable, and it's going to remain like that until we keep getting more and more people speaking up about it.
If I could just mention one thing. I think it's not random, but I mean, what the heck is going on with Jay Leno filing a guardianship on his wife? I mean, that's just out of left field. Smart, no children. They've got cats, I believe. But I mean, he's Hollywood. Anyone, even in like Oshkosh, Minnesota, knows about Spears and guardianship. I don't know. I hope it goes well for him, but very disappointed that he wouldn't have, you know, taken into effect what happened to Britney and maybe just have gone with the advanced directives, which aren't foolproof either, but who knows.
They were Sharon, her son, too. Sharon did the same thing. You know, Sharon and her son as well. So maybe they don't know what's really going on with the guardian system like we do. Maybe we'll get one of them on the show one day, huh? You never know.
Obviously. You know?
Well, I would say that I'm glad that we kept the show going for as long as we did tonight because we needed every minute of it. And
yes.
I've got a little seizure that's giving me a hard time. She's a 2-month-old Cavalier King Charles puppy I have. So I'm like, oh my God, they're the cutest thing in the world, I tell you. And I just wanted to say, like, justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option. We said that.
Never.
Remember, all our shows are recorded. They're archived. You can go on to Hidden Truth Revealed, Blog Talk Radio. There's over 300 radio shows. We've been doing this for close to 8 years now. And we welcome families to come on and tell their stories. We welcome attorneys. We welcome judges. We welcome legislators. We welcome everybody to come on and try to figure out how we can fix this problem going on in the nation. And I know that I probably will probably continue these shows until I'm probably old myself, trying to figure out a solution.
Till they haul us away in the guardian wagon. God forbid.
I hope you guys will come to my
let that happen.
You know, oh my gosh. Anyway, we're going to try to get Beverly Shaw next week. And I've got some of the people that have wanted to come on. They showed that they want to come on to the show as well. And Beverly, I know you're still not Beverly. Well, I still have her on my mind so much, Becky.
Yes.
What do you have to say for the last few words tonight?
Oh, I just think we're making progress. We just have to stick together and help each other. We all we have is each other. That is it. I mean, we are. You know, but I do believe, you know, that maybe we're making some progress. So let's keep doing the work. That's all we can do.
Right. And I do have some of those ladies that want to get together. I will probably do that right after the radio show. I will probably just start making some phone calls. So if you hear from me again tonight, I'll hook up the ladies from Claudia and the other lady that called in. I will make sure that I hook them up together. And think maybe they can work together on what's going on. I think that'd be awesome.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything.
Doing that.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
To our guests and our listeners and our co-hosts.
Yeah.
And we don't have any sponsors, do we?
If you are a
wealthy lawyer and you'd like to pay us something to malign lawyers the way we do. No, really, I don't want to. We actually don't malign anyone. who doesn't deserve it. Because if you're an honest and just lawyer who's doing the thing that you're hired by your clients to do, which is defend their interests
like
in
Pat
court
Amber?
And
so,
do your best to take care of them. And
Pat
we
Atwell.
Are on
her
your side.
Pat
if you're an honest judge who is ruling in a way that is just and fair with the people that are in your courtroom, we are on your side. We are working to help you because you obviously must be the kind of person who would like to clean up this horrible mess of corruption that is
absolutely
a cancer on our legal system.
Exactly.
So if you are doing the right thing in court, we've got nothing against you.
Right.
We are your team.
Remember,
if you're
your
doing the wrong
in.
Thing, we are coming for you.
Send your stories in to Faith House Radio, FATEUS Radio. We will probably edit them, send them back to you for correction. We'll put them in our book, and we'll be announcing the book name and everything real soon. But it's coming out. We've been working on it every day. Taking our walks in between. Anyway, good night, everybody. Thank you for coming on.
Good night.
Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
We love you. We appreciate
you. We are going to pay the NASGA commercial, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We thank them for letting us use their commercial. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Did you know
good
that
night.
Elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.